about the mail.
Every half rate, fuck a baker, so I'ma keep it running. Every hash rate, fuck a baker, so I'ma keep it going.
Solo, my name is Nero. I'm a cypherpunk hero. I don't care about no profit. I don't care about the narrow. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it running. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it going. Solo, my name is Nero. I'm a cypherpunk hero. I don't care about no profit. I don't care about the narrow. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it running. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it going. Hold up, what you doing this for? You doing it to get rich? I'm trying to make a bank, my bitch. Every hash rate, fuck a banker. I'm solo minded like fuck expenses. I'm not talking about sex when I say that I got a lot of random exes. This ain't extremism, this is more like economic terrorism. Back, give me 50 feet. We party hard without politicians. Money making missions, but this is not about materialism. I'm solo mining, I'm so underground. Straight up, up out of the trenches. You can block my transactions, I'm still gonna validate it. If we talking about central banks, then you know that I fucking hate it. In my Black Air Force Ones, I'm not worried about no ASICs. CPU mining back to the basics. Economic red pills out the matrix. Run it. Solo, my name is Nero. I'm a cypherpunk hero. I don't care about no profit. I don't care about the narrow. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it running. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it going. Solo, my name is Nero. I'm a cypherpunk hero. I don't care about no profit. I don't care about the narrow. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it running. Every hash rate, fuck a banker, so I'ma keep it going.
This Monero Mateo video is sponsored by Cake Wallet. Safely store, send, receive, and trade your Monero on Cake Wallet on Android and iOS. What up, what up? Monero Mateo, welcome back. Your favorite unabashed private crypto shill back with an analysis video. Now, it's been a long time since we've done an analysis video. I think the last one that we did was like 7-8 months ago with Pompliano and Schiff talking about the difference between Bitcoin, gold, and Monero. That was an interesting vid, but who knows? Maybe by the end of this, I'm not going to be your favorite unabashed private crypto show because Laverde is like leading the charge. He's like honestly like at the front line, tearing it up, like face to face with Bitcoin bros. I'm just kind of like in the back of my own little hut while everyone else is out there battling like Doug Tooman and, Kevin Wad. And, you know, it's just us here on the channel, just kind of chat with each other about like the technical stuff going on in the markets and, the super hyper mega bullish case. I'm here to provide some morale. I'm like a cheerleader, right? I'm on the sidelines. I don't do like debates that often. I don't really do that many interviews anymore. Because frankly, the only time I have time to do these videos is, what is it now? 11 o'clock at night. So that's all that can be done. And who wants to talk to me 11 o'clock at night? Maybe I'll start doing live streams. Maybe that's something we'll start to do again. But anyways, I'm back. We're going to be checking out that debate. It's going to be sweet. But first, we're going to be doing a couple private super chats. Again, if you guys are wanting to have a shout out or something like that, you think something's important to talk about, send me a private super chat, send me some Monero, some Pirate Chain, some these other cryptos I got in the description below. And then you can send me like a Proton Mail message or a message through Pirate Chain, Conceal Network, or Xano, which is a cool feature of those projects. And we'll give you a shout out. So check it out. This is from our boy Tommy. I won't actually disclose who you are. I agree with your overall thesis about private crypto. When that day comes, I think governments are going to freak out and attack it with every tool that they have. And guys, we made a video on this. If they come for it, I think that's what we called it. I'll try to link it up there. He says, one crucial aspect of maintaining plausible deniability of owning or transacting private crypto is using privacy respecting operating systems. And he says he doesn't see enough discussion of this. Well, look, I mean, you're going to the wrong guy if you want that. I mean, I'm using Windows right now, and I get a comment on like every video. Oh, cool. A Monero bro using Windows. Got it. Yeah, I know. When I get the new computer, we're going to set up Linux. And I can't tell you how many messages I've gotten from people who are like, bro, Linux, Linux, Linux. Check out this computer. Check out that laptop. First off, I love the love that you guys give me and the forgiveness for using Windows. And like, what am I using right now? Google Chrome, right? And so, yeah, I'm a total new when it comes to literally everything tech. And you notice I don't really talk too much about Monero tech. I leave that to people smarter than me. I'm just telling you what the place of private crypto is in this kind of macrocosmic situation that we have. But anyways, you guys have dumped upon me loads of information about Linux. I'm going to get on that, I promise. But he says, if Microsoft, Google, or Apple will snitch on you, the privacy on the blockchain doesn't do too much good. If they don't do this now, it seems nearly guaranteed they will someday. And we have talked about that. Because a lot of the apps that you get in order to have a wallet, you get from Microsoft, Google, or Apple stores, right? Like Cake Wallet, you get from the Apple store. They could just go to the government could just go to these corporations, or the corporations could just do it on their own and say, hey, yeah, see ya. We're getting rid of these softwares that make it so that you can hold Monero and do it easily. And it may come to a point one day where they don't allow you to have applications which allow you to have Monero. So then you'll have to go to another service. But by then, there's going to be an infrastructure already set up, I imagine. I think my Monero is a Monero wallet based on the internet. It's like an online wallet, so I don't think that's too bad of an option. Havana's coming. I don't know if you're going to want to store it on there though, but there's going to be other options. But this guy says right here, a good step would be to use Linux for your PC and either Graphene OS or Calyx OS on Android. Basically anything that gets rid of big tech surveillance, telemetry in your personal devices. Yeah, I get it. I get it. He says, if this is out of your wheelhouse, so to speak, totally understand, but still probably worth a PSA. Well, thanks, Tommy. That is worthwhile. And then I got a comment from Matt Linux. Thanks, bro. I don't know if that's your actual name. If it is, I apologize for adding it. But he says, bro, thanks for the shout-out. I don't know if you mean me, but I'm sorry. I'm just extremely busy. But I just sent it hurts me seeing you go through this pain of working on a lagging PC. sorry for the bad English. My support below will be a solid. Keep up good work. Okay, yeah, great. And he gives me a bunch of stuff about laptops. He's talking about the crap in Ukraine. His words, not mine. Thank you for the kind words. I did get into a car accident. That was a while ago, but thank you for your sympathies. Blah, 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 blah. He says, bro, inflation is so freaking bad. It's up 25%. Don't have exactly this model, but a friend got one of these. Just checked the SSD, and he's talking about different stuff I could buy. Yeah, inflation's crazy. Inflation is wild. It is. But how long have we been gone on for? Okay, so 6 minutes. That's not too bad. Cool. Let's just get into the content, fellas. All right. Let's go. Let's dig into it.
Or you can protect your voice.
I can do that. No, you need it for the recording.
So, first off, what I really, really want is for you guys to learn something from this. Because it's
So check out the body language already. He's doing the crotch control. He's covering up. Laverde is just out there swinging, dude. He's just like, I'm ready to bear maul this, bro. Who looks more dominant, bro? They're already stretched out a little bit, taking up some space. But Laverde just looks like he's about to be on the assault. He looks a little uncomfortable. Oyves here. Let's
easy
continue.
To get up here.
And by the way, I just want to say to start out, I'm probably going to hate on Oyves a little bit. It's all fun. It's all fun. None of it's malicious. I actually think he's got some good takes on just about everything else. he's somewhat of a base bro, as is Laverde. They're both pretty base. But on this issue, which is a pretty important one, I think Vase, he's kind of like a shill, bro. Like, he makes all of these arguments which he must know because he's reasonably intelligent, to be false, or he just doesn't want to look at the alternative arguments because he's already so invested in this particular career that he's established around Bitcoin, right? He's been in this for a long time. Although I think I read that he was a Wall Street bro before he got into crypto. I think he worked on Wall Street for a long time. That doesn't mean he's necessarily bad or anything like that, but, yeah, that's something to consider. He's got a bias. Laverde's got a little bit of a bias, but Laverde was in Bitcoin first, as was Vays, but Laverde has made the switch. And if you listen to the beginning of the video, the guy had said, the presenter, that Laverde has a degree in continental philosophy. Is that right, Laverde, if you're watching this? Continental philosophy, that sounds very interesting. So he's a reasonable thinker. He has sort of a training established to change his viewpoint based on new information coming in. And that gives him more credence, in my opinion. And that gives him more respect, in my opinion. If you can't change your position because you're in it for the money and you're in it for the gains, but you kind of have this ulterior motive, really, or you have this kind of like, what am I trying to say here? You have this like virtue signaling type of thing going on where it's like you're trying to tell the public this is going to lead to freedom. This is going to lead to a new revolution. We're going to change the world, but really you're just kind of in it for gains and for other things going on, which I don't know if fully is the case, then that's bad. Then that's bad. That's something you don't want. But when the dissonance is so bad, as you're going to see in this video, and you know, as you can see with a lot of these Bitcoin bros already, you have to wonder sort of what the inclination is, what the inclination is, because it's just assumed that this stuff is going to lead to like a better world. It's just assumed. And whether people think it's going to be a marginal benefit or whether it's going to be like literally saving the world, as Kevin O'Leary thinks, as Sailor the Savior thinks, Asaph Sperg, there's just this presumption. It's just going to be better because of Bitcoin. It's gotta be better. This technology is going to save us, guys. That's the thinking that goes into this. It's totally demonic, by the way. I think Bitcoin is like a digital golden calf. I think it's misleading everybody. And because everybody's focused on this, they're not actually focused on something which is more important, which is their spiritual life, which is their spiritual health, their connection with God, and their own soul, really. And that's what you need to set up barriers with. That's what you need to protect and nurture if you want to make your sector of the world better. And we've talked about that with Christ and Crypto. I don't want to rant too much. I apologize. Let's continue to the video.
But the real goal here is for you guys to come out of this with more knowledge, with a more well-rounded understanding of what Bitcoin is and what the space is in general. Tony, you want to get started? Is Bitcoin a shitcoin?
Well,
Now he's crossing his legs. He's covering up. And he's got this leg on the left up, which means he's creating kind of like a barrier between himself and Raphael. He seems a little bit nervous, doesn't he?
How much time we got?
You got it.
All right. Bitcoin is the first and only decentralized digital asset. And the word decentralized is really, really important. The word shitcoin first appeared.
So he just said Bitcoin's the only decentralized coin out there. It's wrong. It's just incorrect. So already there's lying going on. He has to know it's not the only decentralized coin, right? So already shilling.
Around 2010, just in a post where someone wrote, everyone's going to copy the Bitcoin code, just change a line here and there, and they're going to call them Nitcoin, Pitcoin, Shitcoin, and people are going to run into them because everyone always feels like they missed the Bitcoin bus. You didn't miss it, guys. No matter when you got in, unless you mined it for nothing, you didn't miss it. The train's just leaving.
So you have to understand, this is the frame that he's setting up here. What he's setting up here is he's saying that the only reason people want to get into alternative cryptos is because they're in it for the gains. There hasn't been a pump yet. And if you find the next Bitcoin, then you're going to be rich. And that can only be the perspective that people have in crypto. It can't be they actually want freedom. It can't be they want to be away from the satanic panopticonical police state, which is spying on everybody and, employing firms like Chainalysis in order to check the blockchain and see what you're doing with your money and throw you in jail maybe if you get, tied up with the wrong Bitcoin. Well, No, it's just you wanting gains. That's why you're in Monero. That's why you're in Pirate Chain. That's why you're in all these other cryptos, which actually protect your privacy. It's not about your sovereignty. It's about your gains, bro. So that's already the frame that he's setting up here. It's a financially based one. And it makes you wonder, is that the reason that he's in? Because if you check his YouTube a little bit, he does a lot of this chart astrology stuff. And do we ever do that here on our channel? Does Raphael ever do that really on his channel? No, not really. I mean, we talk about philosophy. He's a philosopher, and I kind of have a background too. And we talk about the arguments that go into why this stuff is going to take over, why it should take over, not only because it's technically better on the technological front, but because it's something that could actually help us create a parallel economy that is outside of the grips of this technocracy, which is coming into being, and why Bitcoin is not optimal for that, especially if you have something like Monero, right? So just understand the framing that's going on here.
There, you didn't miss it yet. You can still get on it. And everything else will just fade away as time goes on, just like fiat currencies.
Right on, right on. So yeah, he is 100% right. We're still in the very early stages of Bitcoin, guys, of crypto in general. And so when we ask the question of Bitcoin itself, we have to look at the arguments that led to the success of what we know as BTC. And those arguments taken to their logical conclusion leave us with a BTC that is crippled, that does not stand within it, that cannot stand within the underneath the weights of its own marketing and rhetoric. Unfortunately, BTC is crippled in the area of fungibility. Bitcoin's rhetoric is amazing, and everyone should learn its arguments. But if you want to actually live with those arguments in real life, you need to understand that you need to be fungible at the protocol level in order for crypto to be true digital gold and true digital cash and a true store of value.
So a couple things here. He said a couple of interesting things. I'm going to disagree with him a little bit on the store of value thing. I'll get to that here in a sec. But he does point out that there is sort of like this chasm that goes on with the Bitcoin bros in regards to their theory about how this is all going to play out with adoption, hyper-Bitcoinization, and practicality, right? They seem to have this I want it all complex, which makes it so that they actually get nothing in regards to what they want. This is going to be the case. Let me explain. So they want regulation, right? Now, why they want regulation? Well, it's because the institutions can then get in, and then when they dump their money into it, the big money, then they can get their gains, right? That's one angle. But they also don't want regulation. Why is that? Because regulation means KYC. It means ESG. It means more capture of the enterprise by firms which are going to want to track, which are going to want to scoop data, which are going to want to surveil you, and are going to want to control what you can or can't do with your money. So you make this compromise, but they seem to like want it both ways. It's like they want crypto adoption to where they can get the attendees, but they don't want crypto adoption that's going to interfere with their freedom. But they're literally selling their freedom in regards to developments that are going on with Bitcoin, especially when you get people pumping what's going on in Russia in regards to the adoption of Bitcoin over there, where everything is like totally KYC. You got to take tests if you want to buy Bitcoin. It's crazy. People are like, oh, Russia adopted Bitcoin. It's like, no, what they did is set up like a total 1984 financial system of Bitcoin, except it's good for the Bitcoin bros and the gains. But they won't tell you that because it seems they want the gains more than they want the freedom. That's what the whole culture has become, unfortunately. And then another thing, it's like people get all excited about Lightning Network, but they also have this thing where it's like, oh, but it's a store of value. Don't spend your Bitcoin. Hold on to it. HODL, right? So it's like you have the HODL culture and you have the, cool, we're going to fix all of our practical payment problems with Lightning Network, which, by the way, isn't like totally private as everybody says it is. And there are some, I think, scaling problems. We'll see. But then you've got, oh, well, privacy's coming, guys. I promise you it's going to be private one day. Don't worry about Monero right now. Bitcoin's the solution. Just use like these submarine swaps, the 60,000-page Bitcoin privacy guide and all this stuff, right? But they also say that it's going to be great when governments adopt this stuff because then we're finally going to have transparency and understand what the government's doing with our money. It's like, okay, well, which is it? Is it going to be private enough for the individual to use this stuff without the government spying on them? Or is it not? In which case you think you're actually going to have some leverage over the fiscal capacities of government when they adopt Bitcoin? I mean, there's so many arguments wrong with that we could go into. I actually made a Twitter thread about this. We'll list a few points, okay? So one, if it's going to be a transparent blockchain, your taxes are going to go freaking nuclear. I hope you understand this, because the whole thing is, well, we're going to defeat the central banks. They're not going to be able to print any more money. Isn't that wonderful? It's like, yeah, that's great. There's going to be no more inflation tax. Rock on. I love it. But you know what's going to happen? They're going to find that tax revenue from somewhere. That tax revenue they're no longer getting. You think they're just going to let that tax gap exist, especially as the population gets ever more desperate and they get ever more hinged on the success of the government's capacity to expand their socialistic programs? No, your taxes are going to go up, and they're going to get your taxes because they're going to be able to see everything you're doing on the public blockchain, especially as KYC rolls out and expands. And these AOPP wallets, I mean, it's crazy. You think that your taxes aren't going up? You think that you're actually going to get off the system with Bitcoin when governments adopt this stuff? Are you crazy? Number two, there are already financial statements that these government entities have and these departments have. Nobody reads them. Do you read them, Bitcoin bro? You think, transparency is bad now. You haven't even looked into trying to get transparency from the government. But all of a sudden, when they adopt Bitcoin, you're automatically going to know everything that they're doing. You're automatically going to care what they're doing with their money. Your money, whatever. Well, there's problematic things with that, because we've already seen for a couple decades now unbelievable levels of corruption. Because you remember September 10th, the day before 9/11, incidentally enough, when the Pentagon came out and said, yeah, our auditors found about $2.1 trillion in missing money. Look it up. Seriously. Like, they had these undocumented adjustments, quote unquote, in the financial statements at the Department of Defense that showed that literally $2 trillion had just been missing, like just swept out the back door. Like, nobody knows what happened to it. And then Dr. Mark Skidmore and Catherine Austin Fitz, they'd done more work that said, yeah, over like 20 years from 1990, I think 5 to 2015, there was $21 trillion of undocumented adjustments at HUD and the Department of Defense. $21 trillion of missing money that they don't know how to account for. So that has been on Forbes. This has been written about on Bloomberg. Did anything happen? No. So even if you know what the government's doing with your money, even if you know corruption is going on, how are you going to stop them? What are you going to do about it? Like, you think like they're just going to adopt Bitcoin and be goody-goodies again, the government? Are you seriously, are you stupid? Like, that's just not how reality works. But again, this is part of the selling game. And they're trying to sell to you a not private, not fungible currency, which barely works, to make an extra buck or to sell you a promise in your secular despair. I mean, understand the whole Bitcoin thing, this religion, which is what it's become, because you see, you know, Michael Saylor, you see now Kevin O'Leary. And I just saw this other chick, Natalie Brunette. She was like, man, I felt so lost in my life. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was a part of until I found Bitcoin. And it's like, oh my gosh, Lord have mercy. This is very depressing, really, guys. I mean, do not fall into this cult-like behavior for cryptocurrency. Please do not do it. It's not going to lead you anywhere good. It's a deception. Like, literally what Bitcoin is a digital golden calf. That's what it is. It's a total idol. It's going to leave you empty. I mean, you could be broke at the end of it too, because I think, honestly, it's going to zero. I think the same way as John McAfee. I think it's going to zero, guys, at some point. But I got my theories about that. But seriously, like, there seems to be like this, like, terrible dissonance with the Bitcoin bros. Like, they want one thing, but they also want another thing, which totally contradicts the other thing that they want. And so in regards to their understanding of how this is to roll out in practicality versus the theory, there's no continuity. And I think, honestly, it's a big psyop that's going to lead people into a technocratic surveillance state. And yeah, cool. It's like digital gold. They're not printing money anymore, but they know everything you're doing with your money. Sweet. Congratulations. I'm glad that we've really advanced. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Now, in regards to the store of value thing, I disagree with Raphael. I don't think crypto is a store of value. I think gold and silver are stores of value. Now, you could say to some degree it's a store of value. Because interestingly about private crypto, you can use it in ways that you can't use anything else. Because it has a niche market as being private, decentralized, peer-to-peer digital cash, which you can buy stuff off the dark web with, which you can make payments with people across the world privately with, because it has that very unique use case. You could say it's a store of value because you're storing a capacity for you to do something that you can't do with something else. Like, I get that element of it. But in regards to protecting yourself against inflation, in regards to having something which can last for an X number of years. And when we talk about store of value, we're talking about like generational wealth here. When it comes to crypto, it's too early to say. And with the stuff being software and with the stuff being technology, you know, you could have bugs, you could have problems. And furthermore, you could have advancements. I mean, you have competitive pressures coming from everywhere. You don't really get that with gold and silver because it's an element, right? It's on the elemental chart. And unless people are like in a laboratory making new elements that are like gold and silver, it doesn't really have any competition. It does what it does because it was naturally made by God to be like that. So I don't think it's too much of a store of value. I can make a whole video on that. It can go on for like 2 hours. It's a very in-depth topic to go into. But I disagree with them a little bit there. But let's just move on.
When you weigh Bitcoin in the area of store of value in comparison to Monero, it falls short in every single way. From the store value itself, if you track and compare the moments when Bitcoin and Monero started competing in the open market in the large exchanges, starting from the moment that Monero was listed on Poloniex, to the extent that there has been more forethought in the creation of Monero, in that it gives us sound money by means of ensuring the financial health of the Monero miners through the tell and emission. BTC has a huge problem in that area, in that they did not, well, BTC does not have a way really to foresee the financial health of its miners into the future as the block reward subsidy decreases over time, making BTC susceptible, as we're starting to see, to be the bitch of the establishment, where if Elon Musk sends a tweet saying it's not green enough, the BTC miners will bend the knee and the centralized core devs will tweak the code, and right now they're even talking about going into proof of stake.
Yeah, he makes a good point there. He does make a good point. You could say Monero is a better store of value than Bitcoin because, you know, in regards to store of value, we talked about how it has to be, you know, generational wealth. Monero has a better capacity to do that because of the tail mission, because miners are continuing to be incentivized with more and more Monero throughout time. Now, it's linear, the inflation. So the rate of inflation actually slows down throughout time. You don't get that with Bitcoin. The subsidy is going to go so low that it's questionable who is going to be incentivized to mine this stuff, right? Are these big corporates going to want to mine this stuff? There's not a profit incentive? No. Unless it's like they're just wanting to control the stuff and keep it limping along because they're getting other benefits out of it, namely your private data and you know, control over you. Who knows? But he also makes good points about ESG, right? We've talked about that a lot on the channel. I don't even know if I want to go down that whole rant, but yeah, it's true. It's true. So I'll have him continue.
Okay. This is a big deal. Okay. The argument here is to take Bitcoin rhetoric and marketing, because the vast majority of people in crypto don't have the time to be an analyst like us. The vast majority of people trust us, and what they want is honesty about what it is that Satoshi gave us, what it is that this revolution is about. But the reality is that
he's very articulate. He's very articulate. He's got like a lot of emphasis and passion when he speaks too. Like, he's just commanding the room right now, and he's making really good points. And you have to understand that he's the underdog in this debate. Like, he's going up against an entire culture of people who have been, I don't want to say brainwashed or groomed necessarily, but they've been miseducated. And because of this secular despair, which is laden throughout the entire cryptosphere that I see in general, there's sort of like a nihilism in the cryptosphere. It's like, make as much money as you can before everything goes to hell, right? There is a susceptibility people have in this sector to, you know, these fantasies that this is going to solve the world's problems. And by the way, I'm going to get super rich doing it. And so, he's going up against sort of like a cult, right? A group of people who have tied their dreams and have tied their future financial success and maybe their lives to this technological endeavor. And so when he speaks these truths like this, he can make people uncomfortable. And you see this with the body language here with Tone. He's got his arms crossed. He's got like the barrier leg up. He's looking kind of dispassionately away, not really listening to what he's saying, because ultimately he's there to fulfill a function, which is to protect the cult, right? From this guy who wants to compromise it, you know, with what I think is the truth. So continue.
People are, to the point, lying to people, saying that people went private when it's not. And that is very dangerous, extremely dangerous, because there is no privacy in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is butt naked. You're walking around naked on the internet. It's like having your bank account and your name and social security number stamped on your forehead and you're walking around. That is really fucking dangerous, okay? And I think I've spoken enough. So, Tony, here. Had your time.
All right. Wow, a lot said there. Sure, taking notes. No, I don't really need to. I did the last crypto scam episode I did was about Monero and basically explaining why Monero is a crypto scam. And man, don't you hate it when things become a bitch of the establishment? Don't you hate how the internet is a bitch of an establishment?
Yeah.
Like every major establishment uses the internet. If I built the private internet, about 8 people use it. Why aren't you guys using it?
So if the internet was built with privacy and built with it, literally trillions upon trillions of dollars would have been saved because of, you know, the lack of need for cybersecurity experts to protect people's privacy and protect people's data, which is a huge, huge industry because of that lack of privacy on the base layer of the internet. And that's what Raphael here is trying to passionately stop in regards to the new financial system, which is now rolling out, the crypto-based financial system. He is trying to have it be private-based so that we can avoid all the problems that we ran into with the internet not being private when it first rolled out. That's what he's trying to do, and that's why he's so passionate about this, because if we make this mistake again, there's going to be an incentive structure set up in order to keep it alive through the future, namely an incentive structure which comes from politics, which comes from the surveillance Orwellian state, which comes from advertisers who are able to get this data, which comes from legal compliance bros and chain analysis bros and all these people. Like, they're going to have an incentive to have people onboarded to this transparent chain because there's more data, and that means there's more monetary opportunity. There's more opportunity for control. There's more opportunity for a lot of nefarious actors, right? Security experts who can keep your Bitcoin private for a cost and all this stuff, right? So that's something that is worth to note. And it's good that he makes this point, because we don't want the new internet, the new financial system based on crypto, to be on a transparent chain. That's not going to be good for us, right? So moving on.
Why aren't you using the private internet that nobody else uses? Why do you use the bitch of an establishment internet? Look, at the end of the day, Bitcoin is not what I say it is. Bitcoin is this evolving, breathing, decentralized piece of code. People try to...
Is it? I thought the whole point of Bitcoin is that it doesn't really change that much. Isn't that the whole digital gold thing? The code doesn't change. It's already set in stone, right? That seems to contradict that.
To make that code in their vision. And they failed in 2017. That was a big battle. The block size war was serious. And
although you did have Taproot. You did have Taproot, which was a recent development. So you did have that.
Bitcoin, no one... I can't even explain what Bitcoin is. It takes out a path of its own. That's what keeps it decentralized. As for the store of value, the value of Monero versus Bitcoin is down between 85% and 90% in the last 3 years.
No, it's not. You're not charting it from back when it was listed on Poloniex. What you're doing is only looking at it from the perspective of starting from Binance.
When?
You gotta do it right, man. It's like saying that Mt. Gox doesn't matter, and you're only gonna start charting Bitcoin from the moment that it was listed on Coinbase.
When? It, by that metric, Bitcoin started at zero.
Did you forget CoinPal too, man? That was an exchange as well. You know, Bitcoin has a history as well that we can't start nitpicking exactly where it started. When you start comparing the moment Monero was in existence, at that moment, it has been a better store of value than Bitcoin, okay? In existence, in the moment when it was listed on Poloniex, okay?
Can I go on?
Yeah, exactly.
Bitcoin had a value of zero for the first year and a half. By the time all of these other shitcoins, remember guys, there are 3,000 shitcoins. We can sit here years later and choose the 20 winners out of 5,000. But at the time, you don't know which of the 20 are going to be short-term successful. And while the marketing campaign for Monero was great, I've gone...
What marketing campaign? Monero is like the worst marketing endeavor out of every other cryptocurrency. There is no marketing for Monero. Like literally, there's this marketing flyer that goes out on the internet every now and then. It says, don't buy Monero. Like that's how spurgy our community is. We can't market worth a jack. Like what marketing, dude? There is no marketing. There's like Doug Tooman. There's Rafael Laverde, the crypto vigilante. And then you do have the people out there. I must say you do have like this street team who posts like, Monero stickers all over the place. Love you guys. Shout out. I did get a couple stickers from you guys. I got to get back out there. But, yeah, there's like no marketing team, guys. There's no marketing team.
To conferences sponsored by Monero. I've never been to a conference sponsored by the Euro or the South African Rand. You know, I've never gone to a conference sponsored by Bitcoin because
wasn't there a Bitcoin conference recently? Haven't there been Bitcoin conferences over the last 10 years? What are you talking about?
No one controls Bitcoin. No one has a marketing team for Bitcoin. No other shit.
So he's saying that if you market, if something is marketed, then it can't be decentralized? Is that what he's saying here? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So, the Orthodox Church, for example, is decentralized. So, therefore, according to Vaes, you can't have a church? Like, what does this mean? Like, you can't have a gathering of people to celebrate something that's decentralized? Or else that indicates that it's not decentralized? Like, come on, what does this mean?
Bitcoins didn't have a charismatic leader like Fluffy Pony to hype it up for a while.
Very charismatic.
And this trend over the last 3 years... Very charismatic. Where Monero dropped 90% against Bitcoin over the last 3 years.
So remember, the frame of the conversation at Tone Vaes is all about the price. That's why he's back talking about the price. That's why he's talking about now Monero being down 90% for his Bitcoin. Now, I don't know what Raphael is talking about in regards to it being a store of value over X number of years, whether or not it's kept up in price over a certain time span. I don't know. But Raphael is talking about the importance of privacy, the importance of fungibility. Very important, integral things if you want to have actual money, right? But here is Tone saying, no, what's more important is the price of this thing, which I can't defend to be actually money, but is a thing that people are buying anyway, right? That's his frame of the conversation. For Raphael, it's, no, this stuff is bad. We don't want people to just FOMO into this stuff and think it's going to save the world because it's actually going to lead them into a surveillance state. Like it's a much more deep, philosophical, and caring position, right? It's not about money. It's about, okay, we need to have a private crypto so that we can set up an economic system that can't be easily compromised by crazy Satanists. Like that's where he's coming from, right? So moving on.
We'll continue. It will continue until the value of one Monero versus Bitcoin is irrelevant. Now, in dollar terms, Monero could be, you know, $300, $1,000. Maybe it'll get back to $1,000. But by the time Monero gets to $1,000, Bitcoin's in the millions. Okay. Now we can talk about the privacy aspect of Bitcoin versus Monero. Again, how many of you use the Tor browser? Raise your hand. We're in a room of anti-establishment anarchists, hate the government, we love our privacy, about 3 or 4 hands went up, okay? How many of you use...
Okay, so exactly, dude. You go on the average street corner with people who will actually take a Hershey bar over a 10-ounce bar of silver, and you'll ask them what Tor is. Hey, do you use your Bitcoin over Tor? First off, you don't even know if they're going to say, oh, yeah, I know Bitcoin. Like, they're going to know what Tor is? Come on. Nobody knows what Tor is. And he just said, in a room full of anti-establishment libertarian bros, 3 people raised their hands and said, yeah, I know what Tor is. I use it. Dude, nobody uses Tor, bro. and they want them to read like these 60,000 page privacy guides. And they say, yeah, you could be private with Bitcoin if you really want to. Maybe you really even want to, and you can't even do it because it's so intricate and it takes so much work that you could be like these Bitfinex hacker bros. You could be like the other guy we talked about last week who had his Wasabi, mixed Bitcoins unmixed after 6 years because he made a mistake with another so-called privacy coin called Grin. I mean, dude, you could actually want to use this stuff privately and know how to and still make a mistake to where you're compromised. To say Bitcoin is private is a lie at this point. It's a total lie. Anyone who says this is straight up lying or they're totally miseducated about what they're talking about. It's either one of the two. And honestly, we'll see what he says next. Let's have a conclusion later.
Telegram app. Almost every hand needs to go up, right? How many of you use Telegram app secret chat, which is actually private, right? Most hands go down, okay? You can have the best privacy messenger in the world, but if 5 people in the world use it, it is not very useful. The best use of time, value, effort is to make the tools we have more private, more fungible. Now, Bitcoin developers...
So... The thing about Monero, he makes an interesting point. He says, well, if nobody's using Monero, which is wrong, Monero is totally taking over on the dark web marketplace where Bitcoin got its start, and there are businesses popping up every day of people who are accepting Monero. And in many cases, only Monero. They don't even want to accept Bitcoin. And I get these people reaching out to me somewhat often. We've done videos of people who have adopted this stuff. I used to do the Monero Marketing Mondays. We got to make a comeback. But yeah, we talked about a lot of businesses here accepting Monero. People use this stuff. In fact, CoinCards had data which had come out recently that said 51% of their sales in CoinCards in the United States came from Monero users. Like they got Monero for the CoinCards. So yeah, a lot of people are using this stuff. So his thesis is incorrect there. But it's important what he just said because with Monero, it's plug and play. Play private. I mean, it's just so easy to use, dude. You just plug it in and you play, bro. You just get your Monero and you spend it. You don't have to worry about this extra fancy stuff. You don't have to worry about layer twos. You don't have to worry about other services. You don't have to worry about mixing and all the issues associated with that. You just literally use Monero in your private, right? So if we get more people on board to that, you make it easier for everybody to accomplish that goal rather than pretending that in the future you're going to fix this problem, which there is no incentive to do, really. Because the people who have really become prominent in the Bitcoin sphere are into social media. They're into data analytical forensics. They're into institutional investment. And the institutions are not going to get in on a private-based cryptocurrency, which has a reputation of being like dark hood bro money, right? And Bitcoin will get that reputation if it goes more private. Again, it's like the I want it all syndrome. Like they want to pretend they're going to get privacy, but at the same time, they're extolling the virtues of a transparent blockchain. Like which is it, right? It can't be both. I mean, if it's not private on the base layer, it's not ultimately private. You could use this stuff privately, quote unquote, on layer two. Okay, well, they're going to see you using it privately. This is the problem with Zcash. This is the problem with Dash. If they know you're trying to use it privately, how private are you really? That's why these people who use mixers get in trouble. Sometimes they get their loans called back. Sometimes they get their exchanges shut down on Coinbase, for example. Because the data analytical companies, which work with these exchanges to surveil what coins are coming in and where they're coming from, they can see you using a mixer. Okay. So the fact that they see you using a mixer, it doesn't matter what goes on in that mixer. The fact that it went to the mixer in the first place means your privacy is compromised. Okay. Why is that? Because on the base layer, it's not private, which means on the base layer, it's not fungible, which means the entire system is flawed as an accounting ledger, which is what this stuff's supposed to be. Right. So this stuff is just more copium.
Shows the path for mass adoption is more important than on-chain privacy and fungibility.
What? Can you please repeat that?
It's important. It's important.
Repeat that again.
Yeah, they chose a path. Satoshi did as well. Satoshi did not put privacy.
So he just referred, because he got caught, He basically got caught, if you listen to him. He said, mass adoption attendees is more important than privacy and fungibility. It's more important to have money coming into something which doesn't work than having something which actually works as money. That's what he literally just said. And then Raphael caught him on it. He heard it. And then he's like, what did you say? And then he's like, well, this is what Satoshi wanted too, as if we're all just supposed to have blind faith in the all holy wisdom of Satoshi. Satoshi is right about everything. That's what he just tried to do, right? But Satoshi had actually made plans to make Bitcoin more private with what? With ring signatures, right? Which are part of Monero. So he's not exactly being truthful here, or he just doesn't totally understand the history. But that was a moment of elucidation, wasn't it, right? You press any Bitcoin bro, seriously. At the end of the day, they're in this stuff because it's going to be adopted. They're not in it for the fundamental positions. Otherwise, they'd be in it. They'd be in Monero, right? Or they're just miseducated, right? And that's what we're trying to do here.
On Bitcoin from the start, okay? Because when you have huge privacy inside the code, you can miss very critical bugs in the code. Okay?
God,
it was more important.
Dude, do you not understand what you're talking about?
Let me finish.
Dude, literally, Oy Vey said, hey, the code's private, therefore we don't know what's going on in the code. It's like, dude, bro, the code is not private, dude. Oh my gosh. Like, let's roll this back. Let's listen to this again. This is very revealing.
Yeah, they chose a path. So huge privacy inside the code. You can miss very critical bugs in the code.
So if the code's private, guys, which the code is open source, everyone can see it, you can miss stuff in the code. Now, I think what he means to say, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He can't actually be this behind, but like what he means to say, I think, is if the base layer is private, there could be inflation bugs. There could be bugs that aren't found until after it's a problem because they're hard to spot. Right, that's his argument. It's a very, very weak and stupid argument, but we hear this all the time in regards to auditability. Let's just take a second to go over this. We hear all the time, oh, Monero is not auditable because not transparent. How can I trust the blockchain, right? So the issue with that, guys, is nobody's a freaking cryptographer. And if you're looking at a screen with Bitcoin and it says, oh yeah, 21 million Bitcoins here, and you're feeling like, oh cool, I totally trust the system, dude, like, again, you've been psyoped. You've been marketed to too much. Like, the number of things you have to assume are going to go right in regards to the software, in regards to that number just popping up and saying, yeah, 20 million Bitcoin here, you are totally just like Dunning-Krugering yourself, thinking like, oh yeah, totally trust it. I see the number. With Monero, you have to trust the same number of circumstances. Essentially, you have to trust that the math is correct with the code. Now, the math is a little bit more complicated in Monero because you're using like Peterson commitments and you're using some of these other things, which make it so that the transactions can stay private, but you can't look in everybody's wallets, add up the UTXOs, and then come to a final number, even though you can measure the Coinbase. Not the exchange, but you can like type in a couple commands into the daemon, figure out how much has been emitted as a reward, as a subsidy for mining. And then you could add all that stuff up and you can do some math in order to, you know, see what the total amount is. There are ways to audit Monero and see, how many coins are out there. It's not as easy as with Bitcoin, but we hear all the time, oh, you can't audit Monero. You can. But the math is more complicated. That's all. And no one understands the math in regards to Bitcoin to begin with, other than like, you know, what, a tenth of the population, if that. So we hear this all the time. You can't trust Monero. It's obfuscated on the base layer. Therefore, we don't know how many Moneros there actually are. It's false. It's false. And you could get into a more technical thing with that. I think Dr. Kim has done good work on that, and I think that there are some Reddit bros who have really laid out good explanations of this issue. It's not necessarily more trustworthy because it's transparent. This is a falsehood. This is something that people, again, have been confused into believing, that because you have a transparent blockchain, you can trust the supply that much more than you can with something that is more opaque. But at the end of the day, you're trusting the cryptography and the math. And given that Monero is like one of the most audited cryptos out there, you can have a fairly high degree of confidence. So,
okay. Oh my gosh, well, it was more important.
Dude, do you not understand what you're talking about?
Let me finish. You're getting very angry. The reason why when I'm in these debates, the other people get very angry is because they have a passion about something no one else gives a shit about. And they get very angry why the other people don't give a shit about.
And stop promoting Bitcoin.
Oh, that's very rude. People didn't care about Bitcoin for a long time. Does that mean everybody in Bitcoin was angry? No, not necessarily. And I don't even have to explain the logic of why this is dumb, but
I'm not gonna sit here and promote a scam.
You are. You're actually promoting something even worse, which is that it's like you think that being in an open relationship, although there be more people, gives you more security in your relationship. Dude, no, dude, you're just sitting around with more people. Just because you call it an open relationship, everybody knows your business, bro. You're like Will Smith with Jada. That's all that's happening here, okay? All right? You are
that's
giving quote unquote success to people under the illusion of fake freedom. Look at what happened. We have use case after use case, case scenario.
Hey, Raphael, you keep this up, you might get Chris Rock, bro.
What happened right now with Canada? They can't see what you have, it's confiscatable. You call Bitcoin unconfiscatable, and that's bullshit. And you know it's bullshit. And you're smiling, lying to people. Because it's not true digital gold, true digital cash. And people do care about fungibility. They do care about privacy. Because your entire rhetoric, and the rhetoric of Andreas Antonopoulos, who just lied recently this week as well, and Mark Moss as well, that just lied about the same shit. And it's almost like you guys are being given the same fucking script to say the same damn lies. Let me tell you something. On a transparent ledger, it doesn't matter how much liquidity you got. All it means is that there's just more people. It means that we all know about your business. Just because they have an open relationship doesn't mean that by being with more people, it's obfuscated. No, dude, it just means we all know what's going on. That's all it means, okay? No, you give me a second.
I love this energy, dude. And he makes some good points, right? He makes some good points. Like Antonopoulos and some of the other big Bitcoin bros, they're coming out and they have like this new cope, right? It's like, oh, the more people that use Bitcoin, the more private it is. Doesn't even make sense. They talk about anonymity sets. But it's not like they have ring signatures where the more transactions, the more, you know, these rings can pick up in order to, you know, put into the ring and, you know, not to get into all that, but it's not true. It's not true. Just because you have more transactions on a transparent blockchain doesn't mean it's necessarily more private. It's not true.
Bitcoin sells a lot. And it's all at this moment in time, guys like me have had to come out of our own privacy in order to speak up, because guys like him are lying to people, telling them a bag that doesn't actually contain what the rhetoric and the argument is. Bitcoin is not fungible. Is Bitcoin fungible, Tony? Yes or no? It's not, and you know it's not. You know it's not fungible. It's censorship. It can be censored, and it doesn't matter how decentralized it is. It's in a glass house. His argument is, well, Bitcoin has more liquidity. All of the transactions are open to surveillance, are transparent and open to financial voyeurism. All of the transactions. It may be difficult for
financial voyeurism. I like that term.
For you to track and trace transactions on the blockchain, but blockchain analytics and AI make the whole entirety of an open blockchain like Bitcoin completely open to mass surveillance, guys. These guys need to start telling the truth, because there have been lying to people. And I want to hear you tell me how Bitcoin's fungible. Because Jay Mathesis just recently, no, dude, it's not, okay? It's not. It doesn't fit the bill of sound money. It's not. Jay Mathesis just showed us that the Lightning Network is butt naked as well with centralized liquidity. You have to know exactly where all the nodes are in order to actually process transactions to run across the network. That's what's going on. Stop lying to people, man. All right? Stop fucking lying to people, dude. Do your work, dude. Seriously.
You just need to name drop some of the most real, respected, honest people in the space for
lying. They're lying to people. They're lying to people. Stop fucking lying.
So, decentralization is actually the only important part in the whole blockchain equation. And the Bitcoin Core developers chose to add
censorship resistant.
They chose to add privacy and fungibility in a slightly different way. And that way was through sidechains instead of on-chain Bitcoin. There are use cases for full transparency of Bitcoin transactions. Here's an example. Do you guys know how the government is spending your tax money? Of course not, right?
Oh, here we go.
But what if we put that on the Bitcoin blockchain? All of a sudden...
It's such a bad argument, dude. Oh my goodness gracious.
But then everyone's going to be happy how transparent that shit is, isn't it, right?
Nobody's going to care. Dude, nobody cares what the government does with the money, dude. Literally, like, the government's been in unsustainable levels of debt for 100 years. And nobody's done anything about it. Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. But, like, as long as you have democracy, guys, and there's always an incentive structure for the politicians to pay off the public to vote for them with other people's money, dude, it's not going to matter what you can see them doing with your money, because you're not going to be able to stop them from doing what they are going to be incentivized to do anyway. Like, the whole thing, like, it's the biggest cope ever, dude. Like, people need to stop this argument. And by the way, if they adopt Bitcoin, they, you know, go on the Bitcoin standard, why are they going to stay there? First off, you're assuming that they're going to go on the Bitcoin standard, especially during this time with dollar hegemony, which is, you know, going away very quickly now, and fiat currencies and central bank digital currencies. I mean, you're not going to see these governments adopt Bitcoin in earnest, I think, for decades, if it's going to happen at all. And by the way, like, decades from now, Bitcoin security problem is going to be a serious issue. And they'll probably have full control over this by then. But what makes you think if they go on a Bitcoin standard, they just won't go off at some point? They went off the gold standard. Why wouldn't you think they would not go off the Bitcoin standard at some point? Like, the whole argument is just so bad, dude.
So there are use cases for full...
No, there are no use cases. Why do we need a transparent blockchain? Someone explain this to me. Like, dude, we had gold as money, as sound money, for thousands of years, okay? Does that mean you knew the supply of the gold out there to the minutest ounce? Does that mean you knew what everybody owned in regards to their gold reserves? Does that mean you knew what all the governments had on their balance sheets in regards to gold? Well, they were more honest back then, but seriously, no. Nobody knew. And was that a problem? No. The economy kept on. You don't have to know the supply down to the most minute detail. Now, again, you still can with Monero have a reasonable amount of confidence in the amount of supply out there. But you don't need a transparent blockchain to confirm this information, which ultimately is unnecessary for an international monetary system. You don't need it. But we just hear cope after cope after cope as to why you got to buy my coin. Ultimately, guys, it just comes down to pride. It just comes down to Bitcoin was here first, which means it has to win. We love Bitcoin. Everybody knows Bitcoin, which means it has to win. It's a cult, guys. Like, seriously, it is a cult. That's all it is. That's why it has momentum. And remember, Pompliano, he said, we memed Bitcoin to $1 trillion market cap. He literally used the term meme because it's true. It is a meme that got to $1 trillion market cap. It's going to keep going until it doesn't, until it doesn't. It's got very poor fundamentals. And these things, especially during times of, you know, hypernuclear central bank balance sheet expansion, yeah, sometimes people can get into crazy, hysterical, instances of enthusiasm over things like tulips, over, things like Bitcoin. But I think ultimately the strongest technology is going to succeed. I think that's Monero. So.
Transparency.
Yeah, they're use cases.
Now,
we
already have a side chain called Liquid. How does Liquid work? Take your
Dude, literally Liquid is like a federation of like shady bros. Like, that's what Liquid is. Oh boy, let's get excited.
Bitcoin, move it over.
By the way, another Blockstream service. Blockstream, which hamstrung the movement to increase the block size, and now Blockstream, the company which is supplying all the solutions to the 1 megabyte block size. Wow, what a problem. Thanks, Blockstream. And who's to profit? Adam back in Blockstream, right?
To the Liquid sidechain. Converted to liquid Bitcoin, which is pegged directly to Bitcoin, no currency volatility risk, losing 90% in 3 years. And the transactions on the liquid sidechain are just like Bitcoin transactions, because they have the same value as a Bitcoin. Those transactions are fully private and fully fungible. Now, the liquid sidechain is not as...
No. It may be fully private. We don't know how private it is, but it's not fully fungible. Fungibility is a quality of a system. It's not just like this coin is fungible with this coin. No, it's the entire system that you're talking about. Like when they start to put chips into gold and silver, that messes with the fungibility of the entire gold and silver system. Do you understand? Because then it sets up a differential between some gold and some gold over here, which has chips in it, right? The valuations are going to be different. And if you can trace where certain assets have been and you don't like where they've been, then you may opt for another asset, even though that asset may be part of the same monetary system, whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's Bitcoin, right? With Bitcoin, that's the case with every coin. Every UTXO is tracked. Every UTXO is quote-unquote chipped. And so that's where you come into the fungibility problem. We've talked about that. But just because you have like one service, which barely anybody uses, that allows people to use this stuff privately, doesn't mean the system is then fungible. The accounting system is still flawed. And this affects everybody because you yourself may receive Bitcoin, which is tainted. Okay? So we've talked about that. We don't go all the way through
that. Decentralized as the underlying layer of Bitcoin. And this is where the Monero people really get pissed off because they're like, but it's not as decentralized. Right, but your chain isn't as decentralized as Bitcoin. So what matters?
Yeah, except we have peer-to-peer mining pools, which make it so that decentralized peer-to-peer mining pools. How about I throw that word in there? Where people can link up together and that mining pool can get over 51% of the hash rate and not take over and do a 51% attack. Like that exists. Does that exist with Bitcoin? No, it doesn't. Bitcoin mining is very, very centralized. And about 40% of the miners are here in the United States. And if they wanted to link up with OFAC and the authorities in order to censor transactions, they could do that right now. They have the hash rate to do it. The corporates do. By the way, with BlackRock, Fidelity, Vanguard moving into Bitcoin mining, you have a serious problem already with the potential for permissioned Bitcoin transactions. Okay, that is literally a reality right now. This decentralization stuff, it's just a buzzword. It's just a total buzzword. Monero is more decentralized than Bitcoin because you can just mine the stuff with a laptop. And if you're living in an authoritarian country, people don't know that you're mining Monero with your laptop. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not a tech bro, but yeah, that's just something to consider. Let's move on.
There's more to you. A private fungible transaction or the speculation in the bag of Monero that you're holding. And this is another reason why they get very angry with private solutions for payments that are still within Bitcoin but not on the Bitcoin blockchain. Another problem with people that believe in shitcoins, whether they are things like Litecoin that's supposed to be more scalable, whether they're things like Monero supposed to be more private, is that...
And scalable, by the way.
Once you go down the...
And that's why Arctic Mine got into Monero. It wasn't even the privacy, it was the scalability. Go check out our interview.
...path of other than Bitcoin, you have just announced to the world that the moment something new come along, you will switch. Even Vitalik, even Roger Ver, all of them. The moment you sway from Bitcoin and actually believe, like I'm a trader, I don't care if you trade anything. I don't care if you trade Morse Menu. I don't care if you trade, shitcoin number 5,000 on the coin market cap. You want to make more money? Great. You want to make more Bitcoin? You want to make more gold? You want to make more dollars? You want to make more Venezuelan bolivars? Whatever you need to put food on your table, that's great. Once you start believing in these old coins and you start holding them for the long term, you are announcing to you and your friends and everyone that the moment something better comes along, you will switch. The moment something better comes along, you will switch. So.
Yeah, and? Okay. Something better comes along. I adopt the better thing. Therefore, I'm bad. Is that the argument that I'm hearing right now? Okay. Do you guys see the issue here? It's like, bro, because you use a phone and you don't walk 1,000 miles to go talk to your friend, you're somebody who can't be trusted. You're just going with the new thing. It's just, what is he talking about?
Better privacy coins have already come out since Monero, and a lot of Monero people already switched. Some are staying there.
Yeah, it's debatable.
But there's not.
Some people say pirate chain's better in regards to privacy, but it's a more, It's a more complicated matter than that. First off, nobody really understands the tech behind the moon math with Pyrochain, as far as I understand. By the way, I got a Pyrochain hat. Thank you, Lutz. And I like the project. But in regards to adoption of private crypto, I think the crypto, which has the longest track record, is just that which is going to stay on top. Because when it comes to privacy, people are just going to go with that which they trust. Like better privacy coins, if you have a privacy coin which does the job, why do you need a better one? Like, what's the point? Like, if I have a tree in my backyard that I want to chop down, am I going to use an axe or am I going to use, like, a nuclear bomb? Am I going to take the Enola Gay for a spin in order to take out that tree? I mean, seriously, you have certain things that can accomplish certain things, and if they can do it well enough, people are just going to keep using it. Right. Why do you need something better until you need something better, in which case you switch? But that's my whole thing with Pyrochain. I love Pyrochain. Well, let's not.
I've been keeping them there.
It's good to diversify because, again, these are technologies. It's best to have different networks that could allow us to have different capacities to exchange with each other. Totally relying on one technology, maybe not the best thing. And I know the arguments. Well, if we diversify, then not as many people are going to go into that one technology, which we need at first in order to set up the infrastructure for private crypto. Therefore, we should focus on one technology. But I know. But this is a whole debate we can get into. Let's not do it now. But
nothing keeping them there. And I don't even know who codes that thing anymore.
It's Monero first.
And as the value of Monero keeps going down, its mining will fail.
You're wrong.
Mining will fail.
You're wrong, dude.
Everything he just said is completely wrong. Like, it's fucking incredible. And dude, and you should really redo your video on Monero, because I watched it, unfortunately, yesterday. It really sucked. If you don't know, Giacomo Zucco and that other guy don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
It really sucked.
You guys literally, like, it's fucked up, bro. I'm telling you, do that again. And invite a real programmer to... Andrew Polstra, look, Andrew Polstra is really cool. He shows up to a lot of Monero conferences. He's one of the blockchain guys. Invite him over, bro. He will help you a lot, for real. Anyways, look... If you follow the BTC logical conclusion of them reading Satoshi saying one CPU, one vote, Monero follows that logical conclusion by being ASIC resistant. That allows Monero to be censorship resistant, meaning that you can mine Monero from a laptop anywhere under communist dictatorship. No one knows that laptop is mining Monero. That's very important, okay? Also, you said so many things. Gosh, Liquid is not really a sidechain, guys. That was a bait-and-switch marketing scheme by Blockstream. And they really did not give the world a true sidechain. Paul Storks created drive chains of Truthcoin. He actually gave the world sidechains. And I had an interview with him recently. He doesn't even know the proper process of introducing things into BTC because it's centralized, essentially controlled by core devs that they call the shots, essentially planned. Okay. In terms of privacy, you have to have it at the protocol level. You can't have it as an afterthought, and it's been shown already that the Lightning Network doesn't work, and Liquid Sidechain is really there to be an attestation within exchanges and within financial institutions. The best thing that maybe came out of the Liquid was LCAD. But here, let's go back to the notion of fungibility, because here, guys, we can get caught up talking about many, many things. Fungibility is the means by which one unit of account is always interchangeable for another unit of account within within an medium of exchange. Meaning that if you were to go to the store right now, someone in the future can say, hey, I can't take those Bitcoin from you because back, I don't know how many transactions ago, it was in some jurisdiction deemed illicit. This coin right here is tainted. I can't take it from you. It's been happening a lot, guys. And people say they don't care about privacy. Oh, we don't care about privacy till it matters, okay? It's gotten so bad that Paxos Exchange has been sending letters to their people, to their customers, saying, because blockchain analytics does not just only look at you from the past, but also looks to you onto the future. And they told them, hey, we're going to have to close your account, freeze your account here. And guess what happens? According to the travel rule by FinCEN, that is connected to every other bank account that's connected to that account. All of that is now suspect, at the very least suspect. And so they not because of what he, it's about what the person did with his coin once he purchased it from the exchange. He sent it to a Wasabi wallet for mixing. CoinJoin is bullshit, guys. CoinJoin is like, anyone that wants to track and trace CoinJoin, all they have to do is constantly put their own coin in there and saturate the CoinJoin
And then probabilistically, they can figure out exactly who owns what or where. And with metadata, guys, Bitcoin is a transparent surveillance coin. And it's very dangerous because it will never achieve the level of privacy that they champion, that they want. Because underneath their argument is a need for privacy at the protocol level. They want Bitcoin to be digital gold and digital cash. It's not, and it will never be. On a second layer, it's also a failure. And a lot of the Monero communities, especially, a lot of researchers throughout the world have already shown in many ways how the Lightning Network can be easily Sybil attacked. And the only way that the Lightning Network actually works is by having centralized liquidity. You have to know you have to have an idea of every moment in the Lightning Network, know exactly where all the hubs are, and the states of all the hubs at every single moment. So they've in the past even proposed something like watchtowers, a centralized authority that oversees transactions on the Lightning Network. The only way that even works is by having centralized liquidity. In other words, Strike, for example, or any of these companies that work on the Lightning Network, they only work because they control all the liquidity within that network. In other words, the best second layer that BTC has is called PayPal. Wake the fuck up. Like, seriously. You're dealing with people's lives here, and you're selling them something that is confiscatable. It's completely confiscatable. The people that need Bitcoin are not people that are living and that want cryptocurrency, are not people that are already well off, that are already doing well within the legacy financial system. Bitcoin was created for the masses, for the world, and unfortunately, if you follow the logical consistency, the premises of the arguments of BTC, the conclusion goes down to Monero. Monero is everything that BTC desires to be.
All right. So.
Yeah, dude. Whew. I'm sweating listening to that. Let's go.
Look, there is a.
Alpha Nero Chad, hello. We got a new general in the Monero Bro Battalion, Rafael Laverde. I'm going to have to set up like a ranking structure for everybody. We got General Zap. We got General Laverde. Doug's a commander general. We got to get a ranking system going on. Cause like, dude, this dude is like out on the front lines, just tearing this Bitcoin bro up. Oy vey.
Higher level of battles that some of us are trying to fight. Sure, you could.
This stuff about the Lightning Network, by the way, I haven't talked too much about that because it gets pretty technical. The Sybil attack stuff, I'd have to look more into. I honestly had an inquiry into the Lightning Network recently in regards to Jack, whatever his face is, from Strike. Because apparently they set up like a new system with like Walmart, McDonald's to spend Bitcoin on the Lightning Network with them. But it's almost like you're not even using Bitcoin. It's like the Bitcoin network on the Lightning Network is just a medium for dollars to pass through. It's not even like you're spending Bitcoin. In fact, Seth, for privacy, said that when he was at the Bitcoin conference, he was trying to buy some tacos with the Bitcoin, like literally the Bitcoin on chain, but they only took Lightning Network transactions. So, it's like literally PayPal, as Laverde said. That's what it's seemingly turning into, with, of course, the tax consequences of that, because if you hold Bitcoin for longer than a couple days and the price moves, well, that's a taxable event when you get rid of it. You got to record a gain or loss. And so you're getting rid of it. It's just going back into fiat, into Walmart's coffers. Way to go. What a wonderful circular economy. And then you got to pay tax, and you're going against the grain also because you're not hodling your Bitcoin, bro. So it's just a weird type of vibe coming from the Bitcoin bros at this point. I don't think it's going to work, this Lightning stuff. And I saw somebody say, yeah, it's got some problems right now, but check back in 10 years. It's like, we don't have 10 years. Where do you get this stuff? We have 10 years to figure this stuff out, dude. We already had our 10 years. And we got to make that move to Monero right now because it works. It's everything we need it to be. Just use it right now, okay? Let's stop waiting for technology to get to the point where it's like cool and good. Stop having that opium. Just go to something that works.
Drugs online in the most secure, private way possible. But you know what's a better solution? Making them legal so that you don't have to hide. You know what's a better solution than trying to protect your speech from you being taken advantage of? Not having the government spy on you, okay?
Okay. How are you going to do that? Would you like to provide me some solutions and some battle plans as to how you're going to get the government not to spy on you? It's totally an unreasonable expectation. The governments are going to spy on you forever until the end of time with the technology they have. Hello. I mean, that's baked into the cake. That's obvious. Do you guys not get that? And even then, even if you set up like a regulatory framework to make it so that they don't spy on you, are they going to one day wake up and be like, oh, guys, we shouldn't do this anymore because the law says so? Like, no, they've broken the law again and again and again. Nobody gets held accountable. They're going to keep spying on you. Okay. You guys know this. You guys are reasonable people. And like, he's talking to like anti-establishment libertarian bros. Are there any libertarians out there who actually honestly believe that they're going to get the government to stop spying on them? No, you have to adopt technologies which protect you from that, because that should be a given. Gosh, this shouldn't be hard to explain. But he's coming from the Bitcoin bro perspective that says, guys, we can joust with the politics. We can work our way into the halls of power, and we could fix things in order to make it so that Bitcoin is adopted by everybody. It's just everything we wanted it to be. Guys, just, I don't want to play that game. Neither do you. I'm done with politics. Totally done with politics. I don't want anything to do with it. I just want my money off the system. Operation Exodus. Just get off the system, guys. Get into something that's private and just play.
That's the bigger.
If they can't stop you, then you've already won.
You know, there is no such thing as a non-fungible Bitcoin transaction in El Salvador, because Bitcoin is legal tender. You know, your dollars in your pocket are just as good no matter how much cocaine residue is on them when you go use them at a store. They're perfectly fungible. They still have a serial number on it. That's because the dollar is legal tender, right? And even the government knows that if your $100 bill in your pocket and my $100 bill in my pocket have a different value, the whole economy of the United States will collapse as long as there's a cash economy.
So here's a problem with that. It's not just governments that you got to worry about discriminating against your coins, okay? Just because the government's determined some coins to be bad, and that causes a lot of the fungibility problems, doesn't mean that certain individuals out there, certain communities, certain corporations, etc., who have certain values, are going to say, hey, we're going to accept all Bitcoin, right? Or we're going to discriminate against your coins. Like, they can make those determinations too. It's not just the government that you got to worry about with this stuff, because forensic technologies and these data forensics tools, they're going to be ever more adopted, and they're going to be ever more cheap to have access to, and ever more easy to use. And if you have certain religious dispositions, if you have certain ideological values, well, you can have Bitcoin come into your wallet, or maybe it gets into some like escrow thing, and it's just like, would you like to accept this Bitcoin? It came from XYZ. Then you could just say no, right? And you can reject that Bitcoin because you can see where it comes from. So the fungibility problem isn't just with governments. It's with everybody. And, you know, who knows? This has to presume that people value money above all else. Now, we are in that world, so you can think maybe when Bitcoin gets adopted, if it does by everybody, then it's not going to be a problem anymore. But you're still going to have certain people out there who have strong belief systems, right? And they're not going to accept your money if you got it from, you know, Jose Sanchez on the dark web. You know? So just some comments I wanted to.
Now that we're going to a digital, that's a problem. That's a problem for the dollar. But the goal is that as people continue to adopt Bitcoin, as countries continue to adopt Bitcoin, that the right people, I'm not saying we need new laws. I'm saying we need to remove laws. Money laundering laws are some of the most
good luck, bro.
Criminal laws that we have in the entire...
Dude, libertarians are just so freaking delusional, dude, honestly. I mean, I hate to say it. I used to be a libertarian for a long time. Oh, man, come on. And like, it's cool to be a libertarian philosophically. I get it. You've got some good arguments. Mises, Rothbard, Hayek, and Hans Hermann Hoppe. I mean, great books. They're on the right side of things. But like, seriously, you're not gonna get it. Like, this belief that... I guess libertarians still have, evidently, that you're going to somehow take control of the government and then you're going to move into this libertarian utopia. It's just so delusional. I don't even know how to respond to it. You just got to get off the system and you got to just live life with other people, without politics, without ideology. I mean, that's the only way you can really do it. Now, you know, do it with faith, do it with Christ. When I say ideology, I'm not talking about, like legit belief systems which create traditional values in a sustainable society. I'm talking about like, you know, neoliberal dumb stuff, right? Which destroys society for the most part. But anyways, I just don't think you're going to be able to convince politicians to adopt things in your favor. And if they do, you have reason to worry. You have a lot of reason to worry. I mean, if politicians started to embrace Monero, I'd be like, is there a flaw in the code? Is there a bug? Are they able to trace it somehow? Like, seriously, I get concerned.
Entire world. And the removal of those money laundering laws is more important than hiding your transactions with maybe 1,000 other people around the world. And that's all you're ever going to do. You know, if you're going to change the world, you need critical mass. And as people continue to adopt Bitcoin, as people get wealthy on Bitcoin, these are going to be the people that are going to create their own new countries. These are going to be the people that are going to run their...
You're going to create your own new countries? Okay. I mean, are you going to be like Peter Thiel out in the middle of the ocean with your own little island thing? Your floating little hut? I mean, that's cool. I dig it. But where are you going to set up these new countries? I mean, like somewhere in the Caribbean? Dude, do you see the countries which are taking over the world right now? Are you taking a look at China? Do you think that they're just going to let you have your own little utopia somewhere? Guys, there's still this thing going on with the secularists, and a lot of them are in crypto, where it's like, guys, it's just the natural state of things for us to have freedom. We're just going through this time right now where, you know, it's a little tough. You've got some tyrants taking over. They're probably like satanic or whatever. But, you know, as soon as we get back to a sound money standard, everything's going to be fixed. It's totally historically ignorant. You've had slavery everywhere with sound money systems. You've had war everywhere. You remember when the Bitcoin bros were like, we're going to end all war with crypto. And then like literally 5 seconds later, they're funding the Ukrainian military with Bitcoin. I mean, it's just crazy. But they just have a total ahistorical perspective. Like freedom is an aberration, especially individualist and especially political freedom. It's totally ahistorical. And the reason that that came about was because we lived in a Christian society. It was because you had people worshiping a universal divine lawgiver rather than these men who were believed to be all powerful instead, like Stalin and Hitler and other people like that. If you believe in a universal immutable lawgiver, which has set the law through the commandments throughout all time, you have so much more stability because of that. And everybody can agree to a certain set of standards that naturally attract their societies to more individual freedom. Because that is the Christian way. It is to value the individual as being infinitely valuable. And therefore, because it has a divine spark, because it has the image of God, this each individual that you look at, that means that each individual has to have inalienable rights that cannot be violated. Without that Christian ethic, all this stuff is going away. It doesn't matter what technology you come with. It doesn't matter what cryptocurrency you have. It's going away. And the secularists, they don't understand this. They've just grown up in this afterglow of Christian civilization, thinking that we can just get back to freedom once we just fix, you know, a couple bad apples in the system. No, this is a big spiritual problem, ultimately, which is seeping itself into many areas of life that people think that if you can fix those little areas of life, you can fix this institution, that institution, get rid of the Fed, all this stuff, then you fix the root of the problem. But that's not the case. The root of the problem is a spiritual root, which is our incapacity to recognize that which is good, that which is evil, and set up a barrier between them and to actively protect not only our children, but everybody in our society, ourselves even, against that evil. Because if we ourselves become corrupted, then we go down the path, whether we know it or not, to slavery. And we're much more easily enslaved because those who want to have power over you, they offer you things that engage your carnal passions and your desires. And once you get hooked on that, then they can control you. And that's what we're seeing in society right now. People have become addicted to creature comforts. They become addicted to things that give them pleasure in the moment, but ultimately they trade that spiritual spark that they have, that connection with God, for that intermittent pleasure, which means then they have to betray God in order to seek allegiance with those who offer them that pleasure, right? And that's how you get tyranny, ultimately. And so I don't see this, and this is a long rant, I can't believe I went on this, but guys, freedom is not going to get better from here. You have to prepare for the worst. You have to prepare that tyranny is only going to grow, especially with China becoming the new superpower. Now, we'll see what happens with this whole thing in Shanghai and, you know, Evergrande and all. They have a lot of problems, don't get me wrong. But the tendency for now is more tyranny. And with that being the case, you should expect Monero to better suit you rather than Bitcoin. You shouldn't rely on this hope that you're going to be able to turn things around politically and have more freedom. I wouldn't rely on this. It's very improbable. So those are just a couple things. Sorry for the rant.
Old societies. And these people will not care about that part because every transaction will be available to use. That's the bigger part. When you try to pick some token out of 5,000 and convince your friends and family and maybe a dozen other people, maybe if you have a channel like the Dollar Vigilante, you can convince 1,000 people. You're not going to convince the majority of the world. And on a longer time scale, all you just did is lose these people their life savings if they continue to hold out tokens and they're not switching like whack-a-mole to the next latest hype-promoted coin.
So, you know, that sounded very beautiful, right? But did you just hear what you just said?
But you see where he ended, right? It's all about the money, right? It's all about the practical adoption and where the charts are going to go.
He just said that the people, literally, this is what he said. Let me interpret it for you guys. He literally just admitted that the people of El Salvador are now under mass surveillance. How fucked up is that? That every single transaction that they make, it's going to be on a ledger forever. That if the regime changes, because we all know politics is fickle as fuck. You guys trust politicians? Right? And here they are putting the fate of the most beautiful fucking technology that we've ever seen on the arms of politicians of Wall Street. BTC lost its way, and it's now the bitch of the establishment. And they use libertarian rhetoric to sell you fake freedom. That's what's
well
happening
said,
here.
Dude.
And it's really sad.
Very well said.
Monero has been a better store of value than BTC up until this point since they started competing with one another in 2014. All BTC has is hype, rhetoric. They're not delivering nothing in real time right now. It's a crippled coin because it is not fungible. It is a promised coin that promises fungibility sometime in the future that will never come. And the good news, guys, is that, and I'm not going to talk anymore. The good news is that this is a great time for all of us here. And we have to be aware that we are either building a beautiful future or a global prison for all of your loved ones and your family members. Be very cautious with the decisions that you make in crypto, because you're either going to be promoting love and freedom or you're going to be aiding tyrants like Jack Dorsey, who they adore and they have shrines for. Now they're not saying this, they're buddies with fucking Facebook right now. Like for real. Right now, it's fucking crazy what's happening with BTC behind closed doors. They're the bitch of big tech, Silicon Valley, and Wall Street. And they think that by playing politics, that all of a sudden a mass surveillance system is to be accepted by us. And we refuse this fucking global prison that they want to impose by means of trying to use libertarian rhetoric. But we see you coming and we see your bullshit. Okay? Do your research, because the only thing you're going to do is you're going to get a lot of guys in the dark like me to start coming out more, bro. All right? The real motherfuckers are starting to come out. All right? And we give them a voice at the Crypto Vigilante. All right? People that you fucking know.
Dude,
okay?
I love
people
this.
People that you fucking know. For real, dude. All right? Man. Keep it real, dude.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
Has not found the scam they haven't given a voice to yet.
Based, bro. Love you, Raphael. That was That was really key. Let's check on the price of Monero. Let's see what's going on. Outperforming again. Did you guys see our video saying how it's going to go hyper mega nuclear? It's looking more bullish than ever before. Let's see where it's at. Yeah, it's doing pretty good. Look at this trend upward against Bitcoin. Key. Let's keep it going, guys. Keep going. Let's see. Is it in the top 30 yet? It's been making a move up. It almost dropped out of the top 50 a few months ago. One of you had commented on the last video. I remember those dark periods, man. So dark. Those are the dark days. The shorts were pounding out the longs. And it was about to drop out of the top 50. It looked like it was going nowhere. Were we phased? No. Have we ever been phased? I mean, Monero has been through some dark times, guys. It's been through some dark times over the last year. Have we ever been phased? Have we ever been phased by the unrealized capital gains taxes? No. Have we ever been phased by them getting rid of unhosted wallets? No. None of this has ever phased us. We're having a great time. We know where things are going. We know our positions are stronger than ever, and it's going to continue to just rock and roll. So it's at 32 right now. Whatever. It's outperforming. So let's just go live. How long are we going for? Hour 30. You guys know me. I typically get tired around this time, and it is almost 1 a.m. in the morning. So if I sound a little bit tired, if I sound like I was mixing up my words DJ style with my Bitcoin brain, yeah, that's probably why. But I hope you guys enjoyed. Good little analysis video we got to see. Thank you, Raphael, for sticking up for the Monero Battalion and for getting the truth out there. Seriously. I mean, more people need to listen to this stuff. They need to hear what's going on with Bitcoin. They need to hear what are their options that they have, because they really do have options in the Freedom Coin Covenant. And we hope that, really the excitement continues to grow, because we are seeing a lot of excitement. And one of you had said that starting with the Canadian trucker convoy, that happened a couple months ago, that was when the excitement for Monero really stopped, and it hasn't really stopped since. Goodness, I just need to get off and go to bed. Tax day tomorrow. So, yes, I hope that was good. If you liked the video, give me a like, sub, share the video, whatever. And then check out the donation links below with our favorite private cryptos. And that is all, ladies and gentlemen. Rock out, Crypto Vigilante. Go check him out. That's where Raphael is coming from. And, yeah, God bless you guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.